together there. And I do want to say good morning. Let's first of all give it up for Danny with communion this morning. Thank you, brother. That was awesome.
Put that wherever you need to. Great. Well, it is tight in here, but you know, it's good to be together to worship God. I walked in here this morning, and Paige asked me. He said, "Nice tie. What's it go with?" And at first, I didn't get it, and then I was like, "What does it go with?" And then I realized it went with the rug perfectly. As I don't know if you can see it up close, but it's like it looks like I cut it out of this rug right here. But I picked the right one this morning, so I'm excited about that. And you know, we're gonna be looking in the Bible together in a little bit, but I do want to say happy holidays. It's the beginning of the holiday season. It's an exciting time. We did have, I know Danny mentioned it, but we did have an incredible midweek together this last week. I do want to thank Manny, thank the Latin ministry for bringing food. That was a lot of fun. I got a picture here. We were packed out in that room too, and that was a really fun time together. And I know this is kind of a busy time of year. We're trying to plan a lot of stuff. And so I do want to make one more announcement about something coming up in January that you might be interested in coming to. And Carlos will throw the flyer up right there. But we have a teacher in our church, Dr. Steve Kennard. And every January he teaches a two-day course about something. And so, you know, he's a professor for a college. And so this is quality material, all right? And so he's going to be teaching a course in January called Jesus and Women in the Gospels. And so this is going to be a full two-day course studying out Jesus' interactions and with women and different women in the Gospels and learning to grow in our own character from the example of these people. And so this is going to be an all-day Friday and all-day Saturday event. It is free. And if you can only go Saturday, that is fine. But it is limited capacity, and so we want people to go online and register for it. So it's Friday, January 17th, and Saturday, January 18th. You sign up at nyccoc.net, click the events tab, and it's in Secaucus, New Jersey at the Holiday Inn. And so this is for anyone in the church or people you'd like to invite to come to. And it's going to be two full days of great, deeper teaching from the Bible. Amen? Cool, and it will be recorded, so if you can't attend, we'll make sure it gets up on the church's website, Vimeo page, and stuff like that. So be looking forward to that, and go sign up if you want to attend that. So the holidays are here. How many of you are engaged in Christmas shopping? Right, we've got that going on. I'm almost done with it. It's exciting. Thank God for Black Friday deals. But this is, you know, this is the time of year of gift giving and gift getting. And I do want to say to please pray for my family. It's, you know, the gift that keeps on giving is germs. And both of my kids have been sick all week. Chelsea's home with them. Bradley's had something I never heard of called croup. And so we've had to take him to the hospital twice this week to get help with breathing. He's doing a little better now. But man, germs are the gift that keeps on giving. And so we didn't want to bring them today so they don't get anybody else's kids sick. But, you know, that's part of the craziness of this time of year. This morning, Chelsea was like, "This is the time of year where all young moms just disappear." And it's because they're home with sick kids. You know, but we have been studying out on Sundays different biblical paradoxes or things that we need to balance. We've talked about spiritual disciplines of engaging and withdrawal. We've talked about the balance of trusting God, but also taking ownership of faith and deeds. And next week will be our last lesson with kind of looking at some of this stuff, and Tom Hughes is going to be preaching next Sunday. But this morning I want to talk about a passage that maybe is a little bit, of a paradox, is Acts chapter 20, verse 35, in talking about giving gifts here. But in Acts 20, verse 35, Paul writes, says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." And right there is a little bit of a paradox, as we think, well, it's better to get something than to give something, right? That would be the natural maybe way to think. But the Bible, Jesus says, no, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Right? You're in a better place. You're more content or happy or fulfilled if you give than if you get something. And this is not just talking about germs. Right? Because, yeah, maybe it's better to give somebody. No, I don't even want to get into which is better there. Depends on your heart, I guess, right? But, you know, I've been reading this book that's been really enlightening called Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes. It's kind of been really eye-opening to understanding some teachings and parables and interactions Jesus has kind of through a more Middle Eastern than Western perspective. And something that's been helping me, or something that I learned, is that often in the New Testament, when it talks about being blessed, right, like the Beatitudes, blessed are, or here where it says it's more blessed to give than to receive, that we often think of that as like blessed is going to be the result of this thing, right? So I'm not blessed, but if I give, then I will be blessed. So give and be blessed. Receive, not be blessed, right? But it talked about how in the original text and in the Middle Eastern world, that a lot of times, and sure, that could be true, right? That, yeah, when you receive something, you are blessed, right? Or when you do something. But that, in a lot of ways, this is more talking about a current, already existing state. So, you know, blessed are the pure in heart. So it's not be pure in heart and then you're blessed. It's I'm pure in heart and I am blessed. Amen. Or I am blessed and I'm pure in heart. That being blessed is more of the current state, not some future state that will come as a result. You guys with me? Right? And so it even says that here. It says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Not, you will become more blessed if you give. It says, it is more blessed. Already, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed is what we already are, and then therefore we give. Now, I was thinking this morning about an illustration of that kind of being like Christmas morning. You know, my kids are going to be really excited for all the gifts and the presents that they're going to open Christmas morning, right? And so you could think, wow, so they don't have those things yet, and so they're not blessed by them until they open them. But that's not necessarily true, because I could walk out there at 3 in the morning before they wake up, before they open them, and I could look at all the gifts out under the tree, and I could say, wow, Bradley and Tyler are blessed by these gifts. They don't know they've gotten them yet. They don't know what they are yet. They've not even played with them yet, but they're already laying in their bed blessed by these gifts. They're already blessed and they don't even have them yet. Right? They are blessed. And so we too, we're blessed even before we give. We're already in a blessed state. And God does call us to give. All throughout the Bible, God calls us to give ourselves wholeheartedly. God calls us to give sacrificially, generously, to be loving, to be serving, to live spiritual lives that are an offering to God. And all of that, that's a big calling. It's a lot to give. And so it takes a big motivation. To give the way God calls us to takes a big motivation. And what I want to talk about this morning is the fact that we are blessed because God has already forgiven and given us more than we could ever forgive or give in return. And the title of my lesson this morning is Give As You've Been Forgiven. And I have four in parentheses there because it's kind of two points there. You've been forgiven, but also given. And so we give as we've been forgiven and given. You know, the holidays are an exciting time, but it could also be a challenging time, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we're bombarded with shopping, stressful work or family situations. You know, and my hope is that we'll leave this morning not wishing to be blessed, going out saying, God, please bless my life, but leave seeing that we already are blessed. And leave here not eager to be given to, now, all right, what am I going to receive? What's going to be given to me? But eager to give and to be giving because of all that God has already forgiven and given us. You know, Paul is an inspiring example of someone who gave his best because of God's forgiveness to him. You know, a passage that has motivated me a lot is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. Paul says, I am the least of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all the rest. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And we got to kind of follow the flow of what Paul is saying here. Well, he starts off saying, I am the least. This is his perspective, is I don't deserve. I'm the least. But then he goes on to say, but because of God's grace, I'm different. I'm not that person. I'm not the one who's done those things. I'm different. And so because of God's grace, I don't do nothing. I work harder than anyone. Now for Paul, being forgiven of his sin, receiving God's grace compelled Paul that whatever he had to give, he was going to give it. And you know, biblically, was Paul the least? Right? When you think about what the Bible says, was he the least? Was he a worse sinner than the other apostles? Right? Biblically, no, that's not true, but for him it was true. That was his humble perspective of himself. Right? So biblically, no, he wasn't the least, but in humility, he said, no, I am the least. He had a humble, soft-hearted, grateful perspective to God's grace and forgiveness. Personal. Paul knew that he hurt God. He knew he was totally forgiven. And so he was compelled to give God his best back. Now, I think a point that we can make from this passage, and a point for you and for me this morning, is that we should be the most giving person we know because we're the most forgiven person we know. Now for Paul, he said, look, I'm the least of all the apostles. I'm the most forgiven person I know. And so not me, but the grace of God in me, I'm the hardest working person I know. I'm the most giving person I know. And this all comes back to how do we see ourselves? How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as somewhat forgiven? Sometimes forgiven? Or most forgiven? Right? Paul saw himself as the most forgiven. Man, I am the most forgiven person I know. And that's really how we should see ourselves because we should know our own depravity before God better than anyone else does, right? And we can be quick to see other people's sin, but we know our own heart better than anyone else in our own past, in our own life. Right? We could get up and share a conversion story, but in 3 minutes, we can only give a snippet. We know our life. We all know better than anyone else how much God has graced us. How much God has blessed us. How much God has forgiven us. We know our own need for God's forgiveness more than anyone else does. And so that should make us the most forgiven person we know. I should look at my life and go, man, I'm more forgiven than any of you because I see my own need for forgiveness more than I see your need for forgiveness. And biblically, is that true? No. But in our heart and in our perspective, we should view ourselves in that way. You know, this was a special week for me. Wednesday, December 4th, was the anniversary of 10 years since I was baptized into Christ. And so this week I turned 10 spiritually. I'm like a preteen, right? And so 10 years as a disciple, and after I put the kids to bed, I took a little time just to do some reflection. And it was convicting. It was heart-moving. I got to think back on who I was before I became a Christian. You know, of who tries to still come forward as a Christian and who I really am. I thought about my worldliness. I was just kind of really re-sickened by it in a lot of ways. Of just the things that I lived for and engaged in and was excited about before I was moved to become a Christian. I think one of the ugliest things was just the selfishness. And over time, I see it more and more clearly is just how radically selfish I was. Before becoming a Christian, how everything I did revolved around what I wanted or what was best for me or going to put me in the best situation. You know, I thought about all the unresolved conflict, just all the relationships I burned through and friendships that went unresolved. And honestly, a lot of it was caused by my selfishness and not being able to resolve conflict in relationships. I thought about how I was unloving. Really, I was just thinking through 2 Timothy 3, and that passage there, people will be lovers of themselves, unloving, ungrateful, unkind. And I thought about, wow, look at all that God has forgiven me of and saved me from. You know, I got to remember that week when I studied the Bible over a period of 3 days, and then 4 days after that was baptized into Christ by my best friend John. You know, I saw for the first time when I studied the Bible, I saw my sin for the first time really clearly. And I saw what Jesus went through on the cross for me because of my sin for the first time clearly. And just like it did then, it needs to today. It needs to change everything. That's what it did for me that week, and that's what it needs to do for us today, is seeing our sin and seeing the cross needs to change everything for us. Right? Change everything from the inside out. Change our hearts. Change our minds, just like it did when we first believed. You know, being forgiven of my sin, coming up out of that water, I know my heart was, God, I want to be used by you for as much as possible. I want to be able to do whatever I can do for you. And looking back at these last 10 years, there's ways where I feel like I've done my best for God, and there's days and there's times where I feel like, man, I could have done better. But that's where I got to see, man, God is still so gracious to me today for these next 10 years to compel me even more. You know, when I became a Christian, seeing my sin and seeing that I was forgiven changed everything. You know, and I was 19, 20, so it was, you know, it different then than now, but in a lot of ways still the same. You know, one of the things that was different for me was being willing to give rides to people. You know, I remember not being a Christian and a friend asking me to pick them up from work and just being like, ugh. You know, it was like 10 minutes and it just felt like this is such a sacrifice, you know? But becoming a Christian and realizing, okay, I lived an hour from church and I remember driving, and then I moved to Denville, and church then was in the hotels around Parsippany. And I remember driving 40 minutes to Hope to pick up my brother to then drive him to church and then drive him back home afterwards. And on Sundays, but I did that because Jesus changed my heart. Amen. Right? And so giving rides to people. I remember learning to give love and friendship. That in a relationship, it's not just about what I get out of it. It's about being there, being a friend. Right? Being loving in a relationship with somebody. It's about giving time. Right? That my time is not my own anymore. It's Jesus's. And so I use it for him and for other people. You know, giving contribution for the first time. Growing up, I remember the plates coming in the church, and I grew up going to, my dad handing me $2 to put in, and I was like, I gave contribution, you know? And it wasn't even my money, right? But then becoming a Christian, and I worked in a restaurant, and I remember making a certain amount of money, and it wasn't a lot, but it felt like a lot then, and deciding I'm going to give a percentage of this, and for the first time really giving financially, sacrificially to God. Giving hospitality. I remember growing up and having friends over and being like, hey, help yourself to whatever you want, you know? And it was my mom's house. She bought all the food. You know, I was the most hospitable person. It was lend yourself, make yourself at home. And I remember becoming a Christian and moving out and buying my own groceries and people coming over and being like, you can have whatever's in this cabinet. You know, and there was the for the church cabinet, you know? But then learning, all right, I gotta be more generous than that. And I remember at our brother's house working into our budget, not just food for us, but food for hosting. You know, and that's a changed heart because of being forgiven. Amen. You know, this morning I would encourage you to remember how forgiven you are. Amen. Remember, and you can't do that without remembering that you are the worst of sinners. Just like Paul said about himself. And you know, when Paul wrote that in Timothy, I am the worst of sinners, he had already been a Christian for decades at that point. You know, and even as time goes on, we need to keep that, I am the least, but I am the most forgiven. Amen. Right? How forgiven are you? You know, I have a tradition of writing a letter to God on my spiritual birthday every year. And I didn't last year, and I really missed having done that, so I did again this year, but so I've got 10 letters I've written to God, or 9, and I went back and I reread the first letter that I wrote to God, and it was just so convicting this Wednesday to read that and to read the heart I had. It was just such a simple, really, that's the right word, simple, just heart of connectedness with the sinner I was and this new life that I'd just been given and how forgiven I was. And just reading what I wrote to God, it really moved me to write a very sincere letter to God this last Wednesday of just remembering the life that I've been given and the life that I've been saved from. And I think this is the heart we need to have every day, because we're no less forgiven today than when we first believed, right? And so we are forgiven. We got to remember how forgiven we are. And we are forgiven. You know, and that's not a future state. That's a God forgives you. Right? I think sometimes we might think of it like, oh, I sinned today. I need to pray and God will forgive me. And he will, but he already did. Right? We live a forgiven life in Christ. When you were baptized into Christ, you were clothed with Christ. And so now there's just this shower of constant Jesus' blood cleansing you of your sin. Right? You are forgiven. That's the state you wake up in. His mercies are new every morning. Every day, we're cleansed white as snow. Right? And that's the state we get to live with. It's not a human forgiveness. It's not a partial or temporary forgiveness. It's a state that we now live in the light. We are forgiven. And so God calls us to give as we've been forgiven. The measure to which we've been forgiven, let's try our best to give back to God. We give to him in service. We give back to God in actions, right? In things that we can do for each other, for God, for people. We give materially to God, and all those things are true, but we also need to be giving in our attitude. Right? Think about that. Think about being a giving person. Think about your attitude should be like that of Christ Jesus. And think about the attitude that Jesus gave you and have that attitude that we give back to God and to each other. A giving attitude. Giving of attention. Right? And that could be hard sometimes because our minds are so many different places, but going, no, God gave some real attention to me. Let me be giving of real attention to other people. And to God as we pray or as we get in the Word or as we're in fellowship, really be giving of our attention to people. Right? Things like giving encouragement. This is something I've had to learn to do. It's something that in my heart I really want to do. I want to encourage people. But it's not necessarily something that comes out naturally. Right? It's like I got to really force and think, okay, be uplifting and encouraging and say something. I might feel it, I might think it, but it can be uncomfortable to be encouraging. I think that's why encouragement is a gift for some people, because it's not a gift for others, right? But even if it's not our gift, it doesn't mean it's not a gift we should give. Right? We got to learn to give encouragement. We got to learn to give thanks. Right, give thanks in all circumstances, like Larry talked about last week. We learn, man, no matter what's going on, if I'm going to give as I've been forgiven, then I could certainly give some thanks to God right now for what he's given me. You know, as you go into family functions or fellowship or different things this holiday season, you might go into those maybe struggling with, oh, I don't love these times. I don't get a lot out of this. But let's go into it this holiday season not thinking, well, what do I get out of it, but what can I give as I go here? Or maybe there's that family member that you maybe try to avoid talking to. Maybe go into it thinking, I'm going to be giving to this person this year. Because Jesus gave to them. And Jesus gave to me, so I'm going to give to them, all right? And we're going to be giving as we've been given. You know, I'm going to look at one story here of Jesus with two different people that I think really illustrates this point. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36, Jesus kind of has an interaction where he contrasts two different people that I think makes this point. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36, you with me?
Yeah.
It says, Luke 7, 36. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. Okay, Jesus, come over for dinner. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him, at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, Your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, Who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the women, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You even kind of see this overlap in this story of her many sins have been forgiven, and then turns and says, I forgive your sins. That she was responding to something she believed Jesus was already going to be willing to do for her. And so she was giving back to her, to him. Now there's a contrast here, but there's also some similarities. What do we see here? First of all, there's two people, the Pharisee and there's the sinner. And what do we know about the parable that Jesus told? Well, one thing we know is that neither could pay the money lender back. It's not like one could and the other couldn't. Neither could pay him back. And what does that remind us of? That we are all equal at the foot of the cross. No one needs Jesus' death more than anyone else. You don't need it more than someone else. You don't need it less than someone else. You know, I find that we often gravitate towards one or the other. We think of ourselves as, certainly God can't forgive me. Or sometimes we think of ourselves as, well, I know God forgives me, but I don't know about God forgiving him or her. Right? We've got to understand, no, we are all equal. There is no difference, for all have sinned. And that's true in this story too. Maybe one borrowed more money, but neither could pay back. They were both in the same dire situation. And so they're both forgiven different amounts, but they're also both forgiven the same. They're both forgiven completely. They're both forgiven everything. They're both forgiven what they themselves owed. But in some ways, they're not forgiven the same because they understood it differently. So, right, technically they were, but in their perspective, in their application, in their understanding, they weren't. They understood it differently. And so Jesus has this contrast of their giving. As an example, he says, look at what you did and look at what she did. And this shows the disconnect of what she understands and what you don't understand. Right? What do we see about the Pharisee? The Pharisee had to be convinced to give. Right? He's kind of checking Jesus out here. He's like, I'm going to have this guy over for dinner. And he even says, if he were a prophet, kind of insight into his mind, he had Jesus over, probably had heard things about him, and is wondering, who is this guy? Right? And so he has Jesus over, kind of looking to be convinced of who Jesus is, of what Jesus can do, and maybe even kind of looking for some entertainment. I've heard Jesus heals people. I've heard a lot about this guy. Let me have him over for dinner. I'll see if he can convince me, and I'll get some entertainment out of it. We'll see how this goes, and then maybe I'll be giving to Jesus. Right? Versus her. She saw her need. She heard and saw how gracious Jesus was, and so she showed up not to be entertained, not to be convinced, but to give Jesus everything she had. And looking at this, Jesus teaches that whoever is forgiven much loves much. But we know that we're all forgiven equally. So it's more of a matter of not who's forgiven more, but who understands more how much they are forgiven. Right? She understood it. He didn't. She gave her best in correlation with what she knew she was forgiven. She knew she was forgiven, and so she gave her best. And Jesus doesn't point out here, right, whoever is forgiven much gives X, Y, and Z. Because then Jesus would be putting a measure on exactly what we all need to give. But instead he says, whoever is forgiven much loves much. Because Jesus is primarily concerned about us giving from our heart, from a whole heart, like Matt shared about as he came up to pray for contribution. Right? And what we give, just like what we owed might look a little different, what we give might look a little different. But in another sense, what we owe isn't different. It's everything. We owe God everything. And so from a heart standpoint, what we give God should be equal, which is everything. And so for her, that was her alabaster jar. Maybe this guy had 10 alabaster jars he could have given Jesus, and she only had one. The point is that we love wholeheartedly, that we give a heart of love wholeheartedly, and then that will influence exactly what it is that we give based on what we have to give. Just like the poor widow who only had 2 coins, and yet she put in everything she had. You know, like I said, we're all equally sinners, equally forgiven, and so we should all be equally giving back to God. Now, if that makes sense to you, and I'm not saying equally giving in terms of, right, if you make more or less, then you can't necessarily give equally, or if you have more time and somebody has less time, you can't give equally quantitatively, right? But we've all been equally forgiven, and so we should all be equally giving from the standpoint of, I give everything I have. I give the whole heart that I have. I give my best to God. And that's not as a scapegoat, but as a sincere, no, I'm genuinely giving God my best because I believe He genuinely gave me His best. You know, He was looking for what He could get versus her who was looking for what she was given. And so what can I show up now to give Jesus? You know, I think one point to make from this too is that she came to Jesus' body. She served His body. She took a humble position from behind Him. She wept. She was moved with compassion. She wiped His feet. Right? And we think about, well, Jesus, I want to come to Your body. And I want to have a humble posture. I want to serve. I want to help You. I want to anoint You. I want to be giving to You. And how do we do that today? Well, Jesus' body on earth today is His church. And so whatever You've done for the least of these of mine, You've done for me. And Jesus is asking us, hey, I've given to You, and the way You give back to me is please give to my people. Amen. Give to each other. You know, there's a verse that helps me a lot, especially when I maybe am feeling weary to being loving and to being giving. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, it says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you've helped His people and continue to help them. This is saying, look, God won't forget the work and love you've shown Him as you've helped His people. And so saying God is viewing as, wow, when you help and love and work for my people, you're doing it for me. And God is not going to forget that. So if you feel like it's not being appreciated, no, God's not unjust. He appreciates it. If you feel like it's not being noticed, no, it's being noticed. God is not unjust. He notices it. Right. And so we want to come to Jesus' church as we would come to Jesus, with the posture that this woman has. And I think even her story reflects what this verse in Hebrews says. God won't forget it. In the version of this story in Matthew 26 and Mark 14, Jesus ends it by saying, what this woman has done will not be forgotten, but will be told anywhere the gospel is read. Right? And so he's saying, look, what she did for me, this won't be forgotten. Just like what it says in Hebrews, whatever you do for me by loving and working and serving my church, it won't be forgotten. Jesus takes it personally. You know, so I think we got to think about our own hearts as we come to the church. Now, do you come to the church needing convincing? Or do you come to the church ready to be giving like this woman did? Or ready to give our heart, to give humbly? Right? And change our perspective of it's not the church and Jesus, it's Jesus' body is the church. And whether the church or people in the church deserve it or appreciate it or notice it, we know God deserves it. God appreciates it. God notices it. And He's the one that I'm doing it for anyway. And we want to come to His body like this woman did. Come to His church with the posture that she did. Here I am to serve. Here I am to help. What can I give? And having a heart like she did, even to weep, right? To have a brokenheartedness about Jesus' body. That type of deep care and concern. You know, this is the posture that she had, and this is the posture we want to have back to God and to his body as well. You know, I kind of, just kind of one quick closing thought as I wrap this up this morning. And I primarily talked about remembering how much God has forgiven us, which we need to do. But there's also the point of how much God has given us. Right? God not only forgave us, but he's given us so much. And the reality is, if all Jesus did was forgive us, that would be enough to owe him our servitude for all eternity. Right? But then he just throws so much icing on the cake. Right? He is so generous. And even with this woman, he took away her sin, but also publicly gives her dignity and respect and honor and attention in a crowd that she would never get that in otherwise. And so he forgave her, but then he didn't say, look, you're forgiven, head out now, right? But he forgives her, and then he says, look at this woman. Right? He makes the Pharisee give her attention, give her dignity, give her honor, give her respect that she deserved and that she needed to be appreciated for. And so God not only forgives us, but he gives us so much more than that. It's not just the bad he takes away that should make us give our best, but it's all the best he's given us that should make us give wholeheartedly. So many verses make this point. Right in Acts where it says, God has given us life and breath and everything else. Everything you have comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. God has given us everything for our enjoyment. You know, we got to look at our lives around as well. God has given me some good stuff. Specific stuff, personal stuff. And not just stuff, but people and that is in our life. Experiences. God gives good gifts. You know, I've been given and I've given some bad gifts in my time. You know, I remember being, I don't know how old I was, old enough to know better. But I had a t-shirt of a band that Bobby Ritter, you all know, I grew up with Bobby. I've known him since I was born. A shirt that he liked a lot, and he commented on liking it, and it was a used shirt that I'd had for years. You know, old t-shirts, they're missing a lot of their ink. Yeah. And I thought, I'm going to give this to him. And so I wrapped it up, and I gave it to him. Instead of buying him one, I just gave him mine. And I remember him opening it and just being like, I don't want your three-year-old shirt, you know? And maybe this is more about his heart than my... No, it was about my heart. I knew I could buy him one, but kid you not, I was one of the most, I'd call it frugal now, but cheap people that I knew growing up. And he was like, you can just keep your shirt, you know? And he just gave it back to me. There's been years, I've bought Chelsea, one year I thought I did so good. Like I bought her a couple pairs of shoes that I thought she is going to love these. And she doesn't have any of them. She's returned them all. That's all right. I'd rather her return them and get something she really wants. But I've learned better now. We're going to be married 7 years this January. I kind of have a better perspective. Tell me what you want, and then I'll pick from those things. But look, there's times that we do a great job picking gifts for people, and then there's times we don't. That's why we have re-gift bins in our attics and basements, right? And so maybe you don't. I do. I've got a re-gift bin. And so we've got to look at what God has given us and realize, wow, no, God has given me exactly what I've needed and exactly what I've wanted. Right? If you're married, he didn't just go, here's a spouse, be happy. Right? You think about your spouse, like I think about my, I could have married anybody, but God gave me the right and perfect person for me. Right? It's not just God, give me a husband or give me a wife. When he does, he gives you the right one, the best one. It's not... When God answers prayers, he always answers it the way that's best and right for you. Not just, well, what do I got? Here's a gift. Right? God doesn't do that. He doesn't go to the sales rack. He doesn't go to a re-gift bin. He looks at you, he knows you, he loves you, and he gives you the best gift for you. That you need, that you want. Right? And maybe not what you wanted, but what you needed. Right? What does he give us? He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us purpose in life. Joy, contentment, love, peace, no matter what the circumstances. He gave you the permanent indwelling of his Holy Spirit as a seal guaranteeing this new life that you'll get to have one day in heaven, as a deposit, guaranteeing it. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit in my life all the time. Right? And then that gives you the power and strength to do everything that you need to do for God. It's not even, you don't even need to rely on your own strength. He gives you the strength to do what you need to do for Him. Do this for me, and here's everything you need to do it. Thank you, God. He gives you the righteousness of Christ. Right? He doesn't say, okay, I forgive your sin, now here's the next guy's righteousness. He says, here's the righteousness of Christ. And He credits you with Christ's righteousness. And I heard in a lesson from Ed Anton recently that grace and being justified is not just, and we've heard this saying, probably you've heard this, that justified means just as if I'd never sinned. And that's true, but it's not only that, it's also just as if I'd lived exactly like Jesus. Right? That's what you've been given, is the forgiveness of just as if you'd never sinned, but also you've been given the righteousness of just as if you'd lived like Jesus. Thank you, God, for His righteousness. God's given you an ever-open ear to your prayers. You could pray right now, and He'll listen to you. You could pray when you're in your worst mood, and God doesn't say, come back to me later. He says, you've got my attention.
Yep.
Change your heart, but we'll work through it. You've got my attention. Right? We've got an ever-open ear of God. He's given us His Word, His teachings, to help us live a better life. Life a better way, a right way, to find encouragement and hope. So many relationships, right? Whether you've been here for just a few months or a year or a few decades, if you had to stop and think about the relationships, maybe your spouse, probably your spouse, and all the friendships, the people that have helped you and been there for you, how many of them would you not know if you did not become a Christian? I wouldn't have my kids if I didn't become a Christian. I wouldn't have met my wife. I wouldn't know a single person in here except Bobby Ritter if he's here. But there, I think about all the relationships, the people that have helped me, been there for me. If I didn't become a Christian, I wouldn't have those things. Right? All the relationships we've been given, the experiences, the wisdom and maturity. If you have wisdom and maturity, you probably wouldn't have it to the degree you do if you did not become a Christian. Right? Just like in Deuteronomy where it says, if I look at the wealth I've possessed, I can't say it's my hands that have produced this wealth, but it's the Lord who gives me the ability to produce this. Everything we have, we only have it because God has given it or given us the ability to get it. His church, His community, the mission that we have to go help other people find eternal life is an amazing mission. That's a gift from God. The little things, music you like, tastes, flavors, holidays, the coffee you had this morning, all those things even. God didn't have to give us that stuff. Our world could be very bland and boring and gray and no colors. But God has given us taste buds and senses and so much that we get to appreciate and enjoy that is going to be even better in heaven. Not to mention that as something that He's given us, a room in heaven. You know, this morning, do you see how forgiven you are? We got to leave here seeing, I am the most forgiven. And we've also got to leave here seeing how given we are. How given to we are that God has been so generous and thoughtful and kind and loving and grand in the way that He has given to you already. You are blessed. Right? You already are blessed. And as you realize how forgiven you are and how given you are, how does that change your heart? How does that drive you to want to give back to God? Does it drive you to be like this Pharisee to say, well, I'm going to come, but I need to be convinced. I'm going to come, but I'm really just coming to be entertained. I'm going to be here, but I want to see what I can get. Or are you coming like this woman? With a broken heart. With weeping, with humility, with your best, which was her alabaster jar. You know, what is your expensive perfume that you can pour out on Christ today? That this month you can pour out on Christ? What does giving wholeheartedly to Jesus in return for the wholehearted way He's given to you going to look like? You know, God has forgiven and given us more than we'll ever understand or know. Because of that, let's give God the best that we can.
Amen.
Give as you've been forgiven and given. Amen? Thank you.